What if changing your life didn't require years of therapy, but simply altering how your mind processes experience? This revolutionary idea forms the foundation of Richard Bandler's groundbreaking work in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. Unlike traditional psychology that obsesses over the why of problems, NLP focuses on the how, the specific mental processes that create our subjective reality. By understanding and manipulating these internal representations, the images, sounds, and feelings that construct our experience, we can transform problems that once seemed insurmountable into opportunities for growth. This approach emerged from Bandler's meticulous study of therapeutic wizards like Milton Erickson and Virginia Satir, extracting their intuitive genius and turning it into learnable patterns. We don't experience reality directly. We experience our maps of reality. Every therapeutic approach, religious belief, and scientific theory is simply one possible way of organizing experience, not reality itself. The trouble begins when we mistake our maps for the territory they represent. A Freudian sees unresolved Oedipal conflicts, a behaviorist sees reinforcement patterns, and a family therapist sees systemic dynamics, all looking at identical behavior but perceiving entirely different realities. The most effective approach requires a paradoxical stance, appearing absolutely convinced of your approach while internally remaining flexible enough to shift strategies the moment something doesn't work. This requires separating the map from the territory and recognizing that all models, including NLP itself, are useful fictions rather than absolute truths. The key to escaping the map territory trap is to release rigid beliefs. While belief creates congruence and persuasion, it limits flexibility. True freedom comes from recognizing the constructed nature of reality and exploring altered states of consciousness. This requires cultivating beginner's mind, approaching each situation with fresh perspective. In altered states, people paradoxically have more choices available than in normal consciousness. Without typical mental constraints, infinite possibilities emerge, similar to how dreams allow impossible feats. Inducing altered states is straightforward, simply redirect attention to unexplored aspects of experience. If someone is externally focused, guide them inward. If lost in thought, bring awareness to physical sensations. Accessing altered states can create new realities more effectively than conscious self-improvement, which often leads to resistance. The conscious mind's limitations are why people seek change. They've exhausted their conscious solutions. The unconscious mind, which effortlessly manages vital functions like breathing and immunity, holds far greater capacity for transformation. Most approaches to change focus on fixing what's wrong. When asked what they want, most people describe stopping unwanted behaviors rather than envisioning new possibilities. Even when achieved, this often leads to neutrality rather than thriving. What if we ask different questions? What would be fun? Or what new capacities could I create? Instead of asking, how can I be less anxious, we might ask, how can I become more adventurous? This shift from problem-solving to possibility-creating opens new territories for growth. The generative approach creates possibilities that make previous limitations irrelevant. By studying exceptional individuals, from communicators to creative problem-solvers, we've mapped and transferred their unconscious patterns to others. When these patterns are successfully adopted, previous challenges often dissolve naturally because the underlying structure has changed. Like adopting the patterns of a naturally confident person, you operate differently at a fundamental level, making confidence issues obsolete. Building rapport requires matching another person's verbal and nonverbal behavior to join their worldview before introducing change. This pacing can be direct, matching behavior, or crossover, substituting one nonverbal channel for another. After establishing rapport through pacing, you can lead the person into new behavior. When pacing someone's reality, whether rational or irrational, accept their perspective fully before suggesting alternatives. While some therapists mirror clients' emotions directly, this can be draining. Crossover mirroring is safer when working with distressing emotions. The key sequence is to pace current experience until understanding is felt, then lead toward new possibilities. Without first joining their worldview, change attempts create resistance. People are more receptive when they feel understood before receiving advice. Anchoring connects internal states to specific triggers. Working with a client named Linda, I found she created visual images that triggered unpleasant feelings. By touching her right shoulder during these negative feelings and her left shoulder during positive states, I established reliable anchors to access both emotional states on demand. This stimulus-response conditioning enables precise emotional control. Most therapy involves modifying how we respond emotionally to what we see and hear. With couples, anchoring helps break rigid patterns. In one case, I helped resolve a communication mismatch where she sought attention while he processed visually. By anchoring his feelings of closeness to a wrist touch, his partner gained a nonverbal signal to request attention. Anchoring occurs naturally in all human interaction, through words, smells, or touches. The key isn't whether we use anchors, but how intentionally we employ them. Reframing changes meaning, which changes behavior. This approach assumes people have choices and resources for change, and every behavior serves a positive function in some context. When behavior seems inappropriate, it often stems from unconscious internal representations. An overweight woman's repeated weight cycling revealed through reframing that her overeating protected her marriage. Her unconscious fear becoming attractive would lead to propositions she couldn't refuse, threatening her relationship. The reframing process communicates with the part controlling behavior through nonverbal signals, identifies the positive intention behind unwanted patterns, and develops better alternatives to satisfy that intention. If old patterns return, it's an opportunity to renegotiate. One client who chose work over play got a migraine, her unconscious demanding she go have fun or else. By recognizing the positive intentions behind frustrating behaviors, we can create lasting change that aligns with our whole system rather than fighting it. A college junior felt compelled to either marry or permanently abandon women he slept with. When shown he could simply say good morning, he was amazed. Through trance, he discovered numerous possibilities his rigid thinking had blocked. This shows how reframing reveals options when we're stuck in patterns. People often respond to failure by doubling down, like a child sticking out his chest when pushed, making himself more vulnerable. The solution lies in indirect approaches that allow the unconscious mind to reveal unexpected solutions. The tip of the tongue phenomenon demonstrates how little our conscious mind knows about our internal processes. Successful practitioners maintain a paradox, appearing completely confident while staying internally flexible enough to shift tactics when needed. This transforms personal development from remedial to evolutionary work. Understanding how consciousness works gives you influence over how people, including yourself, experience reality. By partnering with your unconscious processes rather than fighting them, you can create natural, sustainable change.